Our scripture today is from Psalms. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds.
The F word. Bet you didn't know that it was all over the Bible, particularly in the Psalms. Did you see it? How about we read it again, Billy? Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. And then, Billy, I think there's Psalm 40, verse 10. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and your saving help. I do not conceal your love and your faithfulness from the assembly. And then there's Psalm 86. But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. And then Psalm 89. I'll sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you've established your faithfulness in heaven itself. We'll keep going. Psalm 91. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. I love that one. Psalm 100. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Psalm 111. The works of his hands are faithful and just, and all his precepts are trustworthy. They're established forever and ever, enacted in faithfulness and uprightness. Psalm 119. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You've established the earth and it stands fast. In Psalm 89, O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty as you are, O Lord, with your faithfulness all around you. So, tell me you saw it. The common word. We heard it over and over and over again. Did you catch it? Right. Fear. That nasty F word. F-E-A-R. Fear. You didn't hear it? No one saw it? Okay, I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't either. As a matter of fact, all the scriptures that we heard today make us feel pretty good about God, who God is, what God does, what God wants for us, what God provides for us, where God takes us, how much God loves us. And actually, while I was preparing this message and as I was reading these scriptures over and over, I started feeling pretty good about things. The world, my life, our church, the future. These scriptures declare God's faithfulness toward us, and it all sounds pretty reassuring. And that would be pretty good if we could do nothing but dwell in those words. Live day in and day out with nothing but the notion that we can find refuge in being covered by God's wings and shielded by God's faithfulness, just like it says in the 91st Psalm we just read. But the truth is, we usually spend a whole lot more time on Twitter and Facebook and watching the never-ending breaking news and unbelievable headlines on CNN than we do in the comforting words of Scripture.
Amen.
We know they're there. We know that God is an ever-present help in the time of need, because Psalm 46 says so. But did the writer of those words really know what kind of world we'd be living in today? And what do words like that even mean, as Brandy mentioned? What do they even mean to the parents who are trying to find a better life for their children by escaping a land of desolation and lawlessness, only to have those children taken away from them, to be hidden and locked away? We can quote and shout and preach about God's faithfulness in the midst of despair all we want. But I have to tell you that in a situation like that, it's probably fear that rules the day. And it's only a pious and self-righteous person who'll try to tell you otherwise. I love the hymns we sing here at Bluegrass. And just a few minutes ago, and it was very deliberate, we sang, "Great is Your Faithfulness." great is your faithfulness, O God, Creator. You do not change. Your compassions, they fail not. All of your goodness forever will be. It's beautiful. It's majestic. It sounds wonderful. But sing those words to people who are living in the parts of the world that are desolate and dry and barren, or those who live under the threat of a heavy-handed and murderous government. It's pretty easy for us to sing those things. But compassion and goodness from a faithful God seems like a dream or a fairy tale to a lot of people, especially people like those. As upside down as things seem here in our own state and in our own country, we're pretty fortunate, really, when it comes to comparing ourselves to other parts of the world. But I'm going to get personal for just a minute. I'm not immune to fear. And it's pretty small compared to most things, but just this past week, Mason and I put a rainbow flag in our yard. We live on a street with good people. It's a wonderful neighborhood. But we still had that brief moment of wondering if we were marking ourselves, if we were making ourselves a target for some sort of confrontation. I'll continue this honesty. Sometimes I fear for the future. I fear for the safety of my family and for the well-being of my close friends. I see what's going on in their world and in their life. And it lays heavy on my heart. I fear for them. I fear for those refugee families that we mentioned earlier that risked everything to try to find freedom and only to have it torn apart and separated by people who they really expected to care for them. For African Americans who have a good reason to feel betrayed by an unfair justice system. For the homeless who can't seem to get a good solid footing for a fresh start. For the Native Americans who continue to be mistreated and pillaged. I fear for our children and their teachers who just want to educate them, but more and more have to assume the role of defender and protector. I fear for our environment as we continue to mistreat it and plunder and poison it. I fear for those people who live in parts of the world controlled by murderous regimes. I fear for the sick who have no access to effective medicine and proper health care. I fear for children and the elderly who face abuse and neglect. And I'll go ahead and say it as your pastors here, Pastor Marcia and myself, we have fears of our own. When we get word that one of you, the people we love and want more than anything to be able to minister protection and care and comfort to, when we learn that you're facing struggles, and crisis and hard decisions and health issues, we straighten ourselves up and we put our courage on and we walk with confidence because we want you to be able to rely on our courage and our faith. But on the inside, we're often wrestling with our own fears of inadequacy and not being able to be that perfect pastor and diplomat and preacher and counselor. And we always want to have solutions to your hard questions. And then there are those of us who grew up in a church that brought us constant fear. The fear of a God who couldn't wait to punish us, got some sort of twisted pleasure out of watching us squirm and constantly beg for forgiveness. It was always such a confounding thing for me to pick up my Bible and to read the scripture that reflected a beautiful God who desires to walk with us and be in our world and hold us and love us and protect us, then go to a church and hear sermon after sermon of a God who rejects us and loathes us and takes great delight in reserving a special place in hell for us. That's why for some of us, for folks like us, to find a church that takes the scripture seriously. And that scripture says that you are beautifully made in the image of God. And that same scripture says that God is love, which means that we are made in the image of love. And that same scripture says that there's no fear in love because perfect love casts out all fear because fear has to do with punishment and retribution and intimidation. And God is not about punishment. God is not about retribution. And God is not about intimidation. God is about love. Jesus came to reveal a God who loves us by by hurting with us when we're in pain, and by weeping with us when we're in sorrow, and staying up with us all night long when we can't sleep because of worry. And He reveals a God who thinks we're the bomb. God thinks that you're the best thing since sliced bread. You're the fanciest car in the lot. You're the finest suit on the rack. You're the nicest house on the block. You're the smartest kid in the class. To God, you are the masterpiece in the gallery. And Jesus revealed a God who cherishes us, whose love for us is absolutely perfect. For most of us, that's a concept we can't wrap our heads around. It's simply too unbelievable to think that someone would love us just because. Amen. There's no test. There's no audition. There's no interview. We don't have to perform well or meet a quota or look a certain way or be a part of a certain clique or a certain group or even a certain church. The words and deeds of Jesus remind us over and over again that God's love is capable of dealing with our fears. And that's the God we preach and teach about here at VUCC. And that's why it's important that everyone knows that we believe with everything in us that we all belong to God. At VUCC, we're not just friendly or tolerant or accepting or don't ask, don't tell. At VUCC, we celebrate diversity. We celebrate the grandness, the bigness, the largeness, the boldness of God's creation. But let's be honest, even among the people who need that message the most, it's not always received. As a matter of fact, for those who've been abused and wounded by a church or a pastor, they still just can't seem to bring themselves to trust a voice or a church that uses the same God, the same Bible, the same songs, and the same Jesus that was used to incite fear in them. And we can't blame them. We don't hold them at fault. But we hope that they'll believe us and give us a chance to prove it when we say that no matter who you are and no matter where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. Give us a chance. We'll start working on some of those fears, the fear of rejection and disappointment and feeling unloved. I read somewhere that the phrase, "fear not," appears in the Bible 365 times. And that'd be awesome if it were true, but really it's not. But it is there enough for us to know that we can be encouraged. We're commanded a handful of times in the Bible to not steal or kill or lie or covet. A couple of times we're told to love our enemies and treat others as we want to be treated. I think it'd have been a good idea if somewhere in there it said, "Thou shalt not be stupid." But you know what you do find over and over and over again? The Scripture commands us to not be afraid, to fear not. Gosh, it'd be nice if it were easier. Amen. I love what Nadia Boltz-Weber says about fear. Maybe God always says, "fear not," not to make us feel bad for our worrying, but to invite us to lift up our hearts to the presence of God and others' love in this moment. Because this moment is a gift. And this gift originates in the goodness of the gift giver, not in the worthiness or fearlessness of the gift receiver. Wow. That pretty much means that when God calms our fears, it happens whether we want it or not, whether we expect it or not, whether we feel we deserve it or not. Bill Gaither wrote a song, "I am loved, I am loved. I can risk loving you. For the one who knows me best loves me most. I am loved, you are loved. Won't you please take my hand? We are free to love each other. We are loved. Jesus has made it clear. We can place supreme confidence in these words. Perfect love casts out all fear. And why? Because the one who knows us best loves us most. I'm not sure how that makes you feel, but the thought of God knowing all of my thoughts and intentions and motivations and deeds, the secret stuff and the stuff that everybody already knows about, knowing that God is aware of every part of my life, knows it all, and loves me just the same, that thought really does boost my confidence. It does a lot to remove the fear of what others may think of me. Remember all those Psalms we read at the beginning of the message today? Remember this one? Psalm 86. But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. This morning, if you find yourself in a moment of fear, if the news or the social media feed has convinced you that all you can do is be afraid, can I encourage you to maybe turn to Psalm 86 and let those words absorb into your mind and heart and exchange that F word, fear, for a better, more promising, encouraging one that describes God to a T, faithfulness. You can count on it. God will always be faithful in love toward you. Amen. Amen.